Okay, good morning, everybody. Parshas Vayelech. Usually Nitzavim is together with Vayelech, but this year Vayelech is by itself. So I have to say Bli Neder, because when you do an Hagat Tova three times in a row, you have to say Bli Neder, as we said in Hataras Nedarim. So it's the third week in a row I'm going to be quoting from the Chafetz Chaim, that I've had this course of opening up the Chafetz Chaim the last 3 weeks and finding something amazing to say. So he says, very short but very powerful idea. He says the last mitzvah in the Torah is in this week's parasha, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chof, Pasuk Yotes. V'atok Kisulchem es Hashira Azos. Right? Write for yourselves this Shira. And the Rambam Pasuk is the Halacha in Hilchot Tzvillin, Mezuzah, and Sifrei Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. That what? I'll quote it for you. Mitzvah Asay Al Kol Yisrael Kol Ish V'Ish V'Yisrael. Every single Jewish person has an obligation. Lichtov Sefer Torah La'atzmo. To write a Sefer Torah for himself. Remember, as it says in the Pasuk, V'atol Kisu Lachem Es Hashir Azos. So, this is the last mitzvah of the Torah. Write a Sefer Torah. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what was the Pasuk before? What is this going on? The Pasuk prior to this Pasuk was, V'anochi Aster Aster Pona B'mahu Al Kol Haro Asher Aso Kifona El Elohim Achirim. The previous pasuk is talking about Hester Ponim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be punishing us, and it's going to seem as though, as Rashi knows, Kmo She'inu Roya B'Tzarasim, as if he doesn't see your Tzaras. It's talking about times of Tzar and pain and punishment. So says the Chafetz Chaim, the juxtaposition of these two psukim is to tell you that if you want to be protected from difficult things, from punishment, you have to learn Torah. Limud HaTorah is the answer and the antidote to such trials and difficulties and tribulations. And he quotes the Gemara in Sota and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The pasuk tells us, Hiner mitzvah Torah Or, says the Gemara in Sota, Ma Or Magin La'olam, just like the light protects the world. Now there's a different gear, so Or Meir La'olam. But Magin, I imagine, if we didn't have the light, we wouldn't be able to protect ourselves. There would be lawlessness, nobody would be able to see, we wouldn't be able to do anything. So too, Av Torah Meginu L'Olam. So too, the Torah protects the world. We know the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, right? What should a person do to be nitol, to be saved from the times of Ikhtasov of the Mashiach? He should Yasok V'Torah and Gemilat Chasadim. So we see very clearly that the way to protect a person from difficulties is Limud HaTorah. Torah is Magni Matzli. It protects a person. And the Chafetz Chaim continues that he's talking about the times of war in Europe, and he's saying that the Jewish people are going through very difficult times, and the one thing a person should certainly try to do during those times is to strengthen himself in Torah, because Torah is Magni Masli. Torah is Meginu La'olam. Torah protects the world. And the truth of the matter is, when you think about what we're going through right now, we're going through the days of judgment, days of awe, times of din. So there's nothing better that we can do if a person wants to know what he should do during this month. I actually read in the Kitzur Shacharonot this past week, Moshe Cordovero says that a person is in, that he should, like, similar to Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, we don't do business dealings, we don't do work that can be pushed off till later. We only do things that are dover avod. So too says Moshe Cordovero, during that Seres Mei Tshuva, a person should only do things that he has to do. And what should he do during this time? He should be marbe v'toro of mitzvot and stoka, and basically make sure to use the time properly and grab as many mitzvot as possible. And we all know Talmud Torah is connected kulam. So you guys obviously have this tremendous privilege of being here. This is Seres Mei Tshuva in yeshiva, where you don't have to worry about working right now. All you have to do is worry about Torah. And the Chofetz Chaim is telling us this is a diuk in the pasuk, the juxtaposition of the psukim, that the way to protect somebody and the Jewish people from difficulties and from punishment is Limud HaTorah. So a person should certainly use his time wisely now when it comes to Limud HaTorah. And, you know, oftentimes we get, I don't want to say bogged down, but we're focusing on tshuva and changing ourselves. But we know if we're learning, you're doing the best thing. It's like you get the most points. If you're in the middle of a video game and you can get X amount of points for certain things or whatever, you just know when, if you're sitting and learning, you're doing the best thing, and that's protecting you. That's number one. Number two, you know, maybe I'll just continue on that point. I enjoy reading the Dear Shoe website. It happens to be I feel bad it's not in English because I always check to see. But it's still under construction, but they have a Hebrew website. And they bring articles in Divrei Torah from Gedolei Yisrael. And I saw, very interesting, from, I forgot who the Mashkiach was, somebody, I think Reb David Braverman, who's a Mashkiach for many, many years, decades. And he went in a few years ago to Reb Steinman and he said, I'm going around, I'm speaking Elul, I'm speaking Yom Neroim, what should I speak about? So he told him, speak about the opportunity of Elul and Yom Neroim. Not about the dread, per se, but about the opportunity to grow, the opportunity to change, the opportunity to be happy, and meaning shed these days, a very positive and exciting light upon these days and opportunities to grow closer to Hashem. And last night I actually read Rav Silberstein the same thing. The headline was, like, that the way to approach these days is not with metach, not with tension and intensity and gloom and doom, but rather besimcha. He said he can't imagine that what we read about, you know, the gedolim from the yesteryear, that it was all this pachad and intensity. He says it can't be that it was only pachad and intensity. It can't be that it wasn't simcha. First of all, ibdu es Hashem besimcha. And he said the focus should be that, you know, the closeness to Hashem. The truth of the matter is, I heard a diyuk, tshuva doesn't mean to repent and to, you know, obviously the steps in tshuva are to have remorse and fix all your ways. But the definition of the word tshuva is to return. And Rav Zilberstein was explaining that we understand that a father, and I actually spoke about it on Erev Rosh Hashanah a little bit, the way we understand the relationship between a father and a son, we say Avinu Malkeinu. Every day we say Avinu, but he's first Avinu, then he's Malkeinu. He's running the world, but he's Avinu, he's our father. Now, just like any human father would, you know, if a child messes up and does something wrong, he's happy to take him back, and he's happy to, you know, to make amends. And he's Avinu Avarachman. He's Mamash, our father. He's the father of mercy. He's the quintessential. If we can, you know, conjure up the image of the most merciful father, he's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even bigger than that. And this is something that a person, as much as there is a certain level of intensity and seriousness, but we cannot lose sight of the idea of the simcha shebo, right? People, the idea of Yom Kippur is a day of simcha. The idea is that we're able, and Dirshu Hashem b'imhatso, but also Korob is referring to days of Seret Shemei Tshuva. Seek out Hashem when He's the closest. Can you imagine? These are the 10 days, you're right, there's a certain amount of, there's that cloud hanging over our heads that we're being judged, for sure. But it happens to be the biggest opportunity is during these 10 days. That's when Hashem is the closest. That's when you talk to Him the most. That's when you can ask Him and get help with your learning, with your davening, with anything. He's the closest now. He says, Hashem, listen, I try all year round. I really try. Please help me during these times, because this is the time that He's the closest. So even though, of course, you have to have a certain level of seriousness, but it can come at the expense of the happiness and the joy and the closeness and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I even saw one of the, I think I heard one of the Rishonim, Achronim, his close tshuva is kirva, closeness. That's to return to be close to Hashem, not to feel devastated about our shortcomings and so on. That's number two. Number three is that a little bit of a personal anecdote. Some of you may know the story, but, you know, 5 years ago, just shy of 5 years ago, there was a big snowstorm in Yerushalayim, okay? And I'm not going to name the people in the story, but many of you may know this already. In the parking lot of my building, okay, somebody's car got totaled. Fine. 5 years ago, this car got totaled, Beseder. Now, it happens to be this person knows me quite well, and he filed his, you know, the car was totaled, he got his money from the insurance company. Fine, Beseder. Now, the insurance company, after paying this person the money, said, you know what? The insurance company said, let's try to get our money back. Fine. So they decided, they heard my name, they got my name. I happened to be one of the three members of the Vad Bayit in my building, which is made up of 16 apartments. And the Vad Bayit is just, you know, you try to help out, you collect money every month, and you pay the, you know, heating and whatever. Fine. So they sued me. Why? Because I'm one of the Vad Bayit, they had my name, and my building was the closest to where the tree was. Fine. So apparently, I think a guy came, a private investigator came, he claims that he spoke to me. They even claimed that I said this, and I said that, and I said it's not my art tree, it's the city's tree. All these different things that I said. And you know, it went to court many months ago, in March, a long time ago. And then they said, you know, they didn't do pshara like Sanhedrin. They didn't do compromise. They didn't work it out. They wanted to actually go into a case. In the case, she made the case for a serious made tshuva. And right away to myself, I said, oh, how perfect! A serious made tshuva. We're going to have a court case. And you know, what better thing to go through, you know, than to sit in a court. You know, during a Seres Mitzvah, just to get the feeling. The truth is, I read when Reilich Biderman writes that there was a Yerushalmi Yid who used to go to the Beis Din in Mea Shearim and just sit there, just sit in the waiting room to see the tension of the people that are about to go into a Beis Din, just to get a feel of what it is. Now, I tell you that yesterday, the worst case scenario of this case that is going on, the worst case scenario is that I'll have to pay like 2,000 shekels. That's like the worst case, and it's probably very unlikely. Although, I'll tell you in a second, the lawyer said the one person you can't trust in the court is the judge. Even though she sounds like there's no case, but you know, you never know what they're thinking. But that's the worst case scenario. It's like mama should joke, because it would have to, you know, it was 34,000 shekels, and it would be split 16 ways. But that being said, you know, putting that aside, it was a relatively big joke, relative joke, because most likely it's going to be just nothing, just a waste of my time. Nevertheless, it taught me a tremendous lesson. They had, apparently, a private investigator who came 5 years ago, a week after it happened, has recordings, right? And they claim I said this, they claim I said that. The truth, it's inconsequential anyway, but the point is that you have to remember your actions. You're being recorded. It's not a joke. And it was like, what did you say? What didn't you say? Was it? Is it? That's the first point. Is that whatever you say can be held against you in a court of law. And it's and the truth is, before I took the stand, she said, you know, everything you say has to be MS. Yeah, but that's life. What you say is real. It's being recorded, and it has implications, major implications. Obviously, in this situation, the implications are very, very minor, extremely minor. But the things that we say do matter and make a difference, that's number one. Number two, the lawyer told me after, the one person you can't trust is a judge. Baruch Hashem, when it comes to the real case, with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, we can trust him. He's our father. He's our Vino Malkenu, right? So that's such a comforting feeling, to know that he's Avrahamon, the father of complete mercy. Here I was sitting, we were at the mercy of this woman. She was actually pretty sharp. She was pretty nice and fair and so on. But when it comes to Hashem, he's our father. He's the judge. Maybe I'll just say over one quick story that I said last year that Reilich Biderman brings down. It seems to be a true story. I'll try to say it fast just to bring home the point, because it's an amazing story. There's a guy who, after the Holocaust, wasn't so frum. I think, no, he was from, his kid wasn't from, anyway, this kid got into trouble, and he got involved in a gang, and the gang got caught doing something very illegal, and he was the one guy that was going to be locked up in the slammer. They got him. They got him on good charges, and he was in deep trouble. And he was out on bail, and he ends up in a restaurant, and he meets an old yid, an old you know, Jew sees him downtrodden. He says, what's wrong? He said, I have this big case, I'm going to be locked up for a long time, I'm going to be in big trouble. He says, go to this Rebbe to get a bracha. So he goes to the Rebbe to get a bracha, and in the meantime, he hired the best lawyer. He's coming to the case. He's nervous. He got a bracha to be successful in the court case, and he hires the best lawyer. Meanwhile, the day of the case, his lawyer that he's paying big bucks for, his flight was canceled. He couldn't make the case, so he sent in a ringer, a new guy from the firm to represent him. And he goes into the case. And he goes into the court, and the lawyer starts schmoozing with the judge about irrelevant things. And the guy's sitting there, he's like, "What in the world is going on? I'm doomed. I'm in big trouble." Sure enough, he's acquitted. And he said, "What? I'm acquitted? What happened?" He said, "Yeah, the judge is my grandfather, and we were schmoozing, and my grandfather wanted to see me to be successful. So my first case, he wanted to make me feel good, so we won the case." And this is a true story. And this guy went back to the Rebbe, and he told him to start putting on tefillin, and one thing led to the next, and he became frum. But obviously, when it comes to us, right, he's our father, and Shemayim, the judge is our father, mamish. It's a different kind of din. Even if we don't deserve things, you have to remember he's Avinu. Before he's Malkinu, he's Avinu. He's our father, and he's the judge. Getting back to my story about course. Anyway, so here the judge. You can't rely on the person, but Avinu Avraham, we can rely upon him, and he wants us to succeed. Right? Right? It's a sinner. Or something. He doesn't want us. He doesn't want to do bad to us. He wants to do good to us. And the next thing is this private investigator was so spotty. I mean, the judge even called him out. He took pictures of like five trees in the parking lot that fell down. And she's like, okay, you mean there were a lot of trees down in the parking lot? Yeah. Okay, do you know which tree was on the car? No. Like, the guy was postured a joke. He couldn't prove anything. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no jokes. Everything's clear. Everything's proven. It's all factual. And that we certainly have to keep in mind as we go through life. So, just to recap, number one, Torah is the best recipe to protect yourself, you know, to protect the Klal Yisrael, to protect yourselves, certainly during these times and any time. Just learn as much Torah as you can, number one. Number two, tshuva is a tremendous opportunity. Yes, there is a certain level of seriousness, but it can't overwhelm you, and you should not overlook the simcha and the joy of returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number three, you know, hopefully that will be my first and last appearance in court, but it really was somewhat of a microcosm of what it means to be on trial, and to really recognize that our actions do matter and our actions are recorded. And you can say, oh yeah, I didn't mean it. Oh, I was just, Freudian slip, or I didn't really mean that. I didn't really say that. You got to take accountability for your words and your actions. Have a great Shabbos.